Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 55, is that correct? Okay, I'll begin by reading. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you knoweth not, and nations that knew not you shall run to you, and because of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be to that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come up a fir tree, and instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Not a very long chapter, but some good stuff here. Let's go back and look at it. It should say, ho, all who thirst. Not that the word that shouldn't be there. All who thirst, come ye to the waters. What is the waters?
Word.
The word of God. Come to the word of God. And he that has no money, come ye and buy and eat. Come and buy wine. That's the revelation. That's the third day truth. The depth of the truth. And the milk. That's the Passover in Pentecostal realms. Without money and without price. You remember he had that little thing in Acts, I think about 17 or 19, somewhere in there, where he talked about this guy Simon that tried to buy his way into this understanding. Yeah. He said, you have no part or lot in this matter. Well, the word matter is the word logos, the word. You have no part or lot in this word. You can't buy it with your money. He said, your money perish with you. Same story. You know. You can't buy this with money. This is a gift of God, is it not? It's a gift. It's not what you work for. It's what God chose to see that you got it. And if there's any work involved, he's going to instill the drive in you to do the job. It's not going to be anything to your credit. It's all him. And we know the wine is the third day and the milk is the Passover in the Pentecostal realms. Okay. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread or not food? Okay. And you labor for that which satisfies not. But you know that's what people are doing. Most of the people think they can buy their way into the church by what they give to the church, and that's not what it's about. You give out of because God's love's there. That's all. Nothing else. He says, hearken diligently, and the word is shama, to hear intelligently with hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively. Okay, diligently. It says hearken diligently. It's there, actually there twice. Okay, to me, and eat you eat that which is good, and let your soul or your inner man delight, okay, or pamper itself in abundance. It's all about the inner man. See, we're not talking about this. We're talking about the inner man. Pamper the inner man.
Spirit.
Inner man is your spirit. There's just different ways of saying it in the scripture for the inner man, but that's what it is. Here they translate it as soul, but it's literally your inner man. And there's so many misunderstandings about the soul, and I don't know everything I'd like to know about it, but I know it's my inner man that's important. It's not about my flesh. It's not about the mixture. Verse 3, incline your ear. And the word there actually is your inner ear. So what ear are we talking about? Our spiritual ear, see? Incline your spiritual ear to me and hear, there's Shammah again, and your inner man shall do what? That's not the correct word. Again, mistranslation. Don't want to shock anybody, but there's words that have been mistranslated here. It should say, and your inner man shall revive.
Yeah, that's what the Amplified says.
It should say revive. Revive means what, Mike?
Revive.
He was alive once, died, and come back again, see? So we thought in our mind, at least we thought, that we were separated from our God, but when we got revived, we realized we never were. It was just in our minds. Just our understanding was messed up. And I will make you a what?
Everlasting.
It's Olam. An Olam covenant with you, even the faithful mercy of David. Or the faithful mercy to David. What David received, the mercy David received, and it recorded. How would you like to have everything you ever did that was wrong recorded for all of humanity throughout history to understand that you did all them things? How would you like to have all your dirty laundry hung out? Huh? David was, but he got mercies that nobody else got at that time, didn't he? God never held anything against him for what he did. That's what he's trying to show you. If David, who was a king, who was sitting in a place of royalty and knew some things, still did all these things, and I still had mercy and grace for him, what do you think you get?
Same thing,
just as much as David got.
It was the promise.
That's just the promise. That's the covenant, see? Mm-hmm. That everlasting, that Olam covenant right there in that verse. That's the everlasting covenant. He said, Father, forgive them because they're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. He said, I sent him there as a witness. Look, here's your witness right there. There's David. Look what he did. He was a murderer. He was a rapist. He was an incestuous man. He was a liar. He was a thief. He violated all kinds of spiritual laws. And God said, it makes no difference. You're the one I chose because I know you love me. Your heart is to my heart. You're a man after God's own heart. See? I don't care what your flesh is doing. I know what's inside of you. You know what's inside of you? That deep that he put in there that's calling unto the other deep.
Amen.
And it's going to be okay. See? It's okay. That's not telling you to go out and do anything bad. I'm just saying don't condemn nobody, including yourself, when something happens that you don't understand why you even did it. How many people has done that? Condemned themselves, committed suicide, done all these horrible things because they thought they'd done something they could never be forgiven because they couldn't forgive themselves. If you can't forgive yourself, you'll never forgive anybody else, will you?
Or their perception was of what other people
thought. Yeah. But see, they couldn't forgive themselves. And it's got to start here. If you can't forgive yourself, we've all done things we're not proud of. But if we can't forgive ourselves, we're never going to forgive anybody else. How are you going to forgive the whole world? That's what he said he was going to do, didn't it? Jesus said, I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said to his disciples, you're going to do greater works than I have. I only come for 10% of them. You've got to get the other 90. How are we going to take care of the world if we can't forgive ourselves? I know it's a big order, but you know what? You got a big call in your life. A big call in your life demands big things, doesn't it? You got to step up. Okay? But he said, David, who was also a type of Christ, was for a witness to the people. He was a leader and a commander to the people. There's a lot of responsibility in that verse. A lot of responsibility. We can't slough it off just because we don't want the pressure on us. And see, most people say, well, I just want the blessings. I don't want all that responsibility stuff. And then you'd be surprised if people tell you straight up, they'll tell you that. I just want to be blessed. I'm not worried about all that responsibility stuff. Well, that comes with it. We're called to be a nation of kings and priests under a God. Kings have to make decisions, and sometimes they're not very easy to make. Sometimes you have to say things that you don't want to say but needs to be said. I said something to a friend of mine yesterday, and I asked Lois about it a week or so ago, and I said, do you think I should say anything? And she said, I wouldn't say anything. And I waited, and I talked to another man. I said, what would you do? And he said, I'd tell him. I said, okay, well, I'm going to take it and think about it. And I wait another week or so. And then yesterday I saw him and I told him. And it wasn't that I was going against what she said, because I know those were good friends and didn't want to hurt the guy or anything or to stir anything up. And I told him, I said, I'm telling you this because after I really thought about it, there was things, if I was in that position, I would want you to tell me, regardless of how bad it is, I would want to know. And it may or may not be just something that was observed that looked kind of bad for this situation. And I think he really wanted to know. And he said, I want you to tell me. Don't ever hide something like that from me. Please tell me. So, you know, but I just didn't jump in and make the decision right there. I had to think about it a while. But I made the decision to do it. And I don't think she knew what I was going to do until I did it. But she didn't say anything. And she knows that he was okay with it, wasn't he? So it's just something that happened. But just because somebody doesn't agree with your opinion doesn't mean you shouldn't do it or you should do it. Because someone does agree with you. You've got to reason that out in yourself. And I really felt that's something I would want to know, and he agreed that's what he wanted. So.
You didn't listen to your mom.
No. That's okay. Sometimes I do.
Did you get back where we want to stay in, did you call that Edom?
Elam.
Mm-hmm. We want to stay in Elam, but if you stay in Elam, the other people coming in will trample you.
Yes, they will.
So yeah.
They will push you out. If not, they will trample you underfoot. and you know what? Sometimes you may say, I want to go back to the desert. It gets pretty messy there in that big crowd of people. Okay. He, behold, you shall call a nation that you know not. And nations that knew not you shall run to you because of the Lord your God. It's not you, is it? It's because of your God. And the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Now, when we see this thing about glorifying everything, I don't know what you all think about glory, but I think glory is something that can be seen. I think it's something that can be seen. We see these pictures with people with these halos around their head and stuff, and I don't think it's that. But I think people can see life in somebody. I know I can. When I meet someone who's full of life, I can see it. It's just like they're part of you. You've never seen them before in your life, but just right now, we're connected. Yeah, it's just connected. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's because he's in control. And I think you can see that life in people. And I think people that don't even have life can see that life. They don't know how to get there or what it's all about, but they're attracted to it.
They can sense the presence.
They can sense the presence of that life, and that's the glorification that God puts in us. Even though majority of people, religious folk, and usually it's only the religious folk that don't like you when you talk about truth. People in the world tell me all the time, I could sit and listen to you talk all day long. Because I'm not condemning them. I'm not casting them in some kind of eternal hell for torture and torment. They say it makes sense. I said, well, I think God makes sense and religion makes no sense. Yeah. But we've all been blinded by religion for a season, and thank God he's opened our eyes, we can get out of that stuff.
Don't you think that's what that first verse meant when he's talking about the milk and honey? If you come into the presence of that...
it wasn't milk and honey, it was just wine and milk, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever they used in their thing, like you said about people. Once they come, they'll accept that. They won't have to buy it.
It's free. Right, absolutely. Once they taste it, they know it's something good. Mm-hmm. They don't understand everything, but they know there's something there. There's some substance there that they want a hold of.
Yeah. They can see that character of God functioning in them.
Yeah. It's the nature of God, and they can't relate to it yet, but they know they like it.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah. But the only ones that really have an objection, just like the young gentleman, Lisa, you said you were talking to, he was parroting everything that someone had told him he really didn't know. That's just the way it is, you know. They don't understand. We understand that they don't understand, but they don't understand that we do understand. Did you get all that?
Yeah, because, you know, he tells some people to have a blessed day, but then the next car or whatever...
They're cursed.
...make fun of them or something.
They're cursed because of what he's saying.
Just looking at them like...
They've been chosen.
Yeah.
Yep. And he isn't that putting yourself on the throne as God? That's the ego of man. Okay. But anyway, they're going to come to you because God has glorified you. They're going to see it in you. And you know what? How many do you think Jesus could see physically all the work he had done?
No.
He planted seeds to bring and feed the whole earth. And he never saw the harvest in the natural because he ascended.
And you have to make peace with yourself in
heaven. Yeah. You have to realize that the work you're doing is the right thing to do, and it makes no difference whether you see that seed come up and bear fruit or not. Right? You got to know, that's what I got to do. End of story. I don't care whether I ever get to see the harvest. I'll beat it on the other side. It's okay. I don't have to see it. I know that's just what it's my job. You've all heard me say I'm a seed sower. I know I'm a seed sower. I'm going to sow seed wherever I go, and there's no way I could get around and see all of them coming up. Where I've been all over the country, all out of the country. Yeah, I can't see them all. It's okay. I know that's what I'm supposed to do, and just do it. And it's the same for you. You all have a sphere that you live in, you know, your circle of life that you live in. And you can reach people that I've never seen or will never see in my natural lifetime if I live to be 500 years old. You see people that I can't touch. But if I can touch you and then you can touch them through me, through you rather, I've touched them. Okay, so just keep touching and passing it on. Kind of like that pay it forward thing, that program that was on one time. Just pay it forward. Don't worry about what you see. Just someone took care of you, so won't you take care of somebody else?
You light my candle, and I'll light two candles.
There you go. Just keep on going with it. It'll be all right. God's got it under control anyway. And it's not about keeping score. It's just doing what's right. Okay, verse 6, he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." I know that's what it says, but you know, I really don't think God was lost. I think it's the other way around. And he'll find us when it's time. It said, call upon him while he is near. Well, he couldn't get any nearer than he already is, could he?
Well, don't you think that when you're eating of that wine and milk or whatever, he's found?
Well, when you're eating the milk, it's found, and the growth really comes when you begin to drink the wine.
His presence was awakened.
Sure. Until the baby's conceived, and I see that as the outer court experience, the Passover experience, is a conception, not a birth. I don't think the birth comes until Pentecost, and then the real growth comes in that last trimester, that last thing when it's really coming on, starting to grow to maturity. That's my opinion. Okay, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his what?
Course of life.
Remember that word way is always about the course of life. And the unrighteous, and that word unrighteous man, that's an unfair word. It makes you go towards somebody that's a bad person doing bad things. But the word literally says the troubled man. Let the troubled man and his man, And the troubled man, his thoughts, or his ego is what it should be, the troubled man and his ego, and let him return to the Lord. Notice the word return. You're troubled and have ego thoughts, self thoughts. The only way it's going to fix it is do what? Return. If he returned, that means he had to have been with him sometime, didn't it? In the past, you can't return until you've been there and leave and come back. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, right? Because he will abundantly what? Literally forgive is what the word. He'll abundantly forgive. I want to read a few verses starting in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:14. And it says, because if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. He said, if you forgive humanity, is what the word should be, it's anthropos, humanity. If you forgive humanity their trespasses against you, do you know what? Your humanity is part of that humanity, isn't it? Like I said a while ago, you got to forgive yourself, number one. Your heavenly Father, okay, will also forgive you. Your spiritual Father will also forgive you. But the word trespass, do you know what it is? It's not the word hartomeia, which when we want to say is sin. But Paul used this word here, as Jesus used also, is paratoma. It's number 3900 in the Greek language. And it says it means intentional or unintentional. Whether you intentionally did something wrong or unintentionally done it, it's forgiven. Doesn't make any difference, does it? Some people say, well, if you intentionally did it, that's different. Really? Is it really different? Whose perception was that one? But if you forgive not humanity their paratomas, neither will your Father forgive your paratomas.
Slip-ups.
See? So when they slip up, if you don't forgive them, he says he ain't going to forgive yours. So all we got to do is realize the key to everything is let it go. Let it go. Take the log out of your eye so you can get the splinter out of somebody else's. Same thing. another one. Matthew 18:21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother's sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times? And Jesus said, not seven times, but until 70 times seven, 490. What's the first two numbers of that, 490? What is 49?
Jubilee.
Jubilee, there you go. Jubilee is when everything is forgiven. Everything. All debts forgiven. Not coincidence, I guarantee you. And Luke 6:37 says the same thing. Luke 6:37. One more page, there it is. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, okay? Condemn not, and literally the word condemn or do not pronounce guilty, and you shall not be pronounced guilty. Forgive, and that word forgive is fully forgive, and you shall be fully forgiven. That's amazing, isn't it? But this book doesn't contradict itself like many people believe. It's only the mistranslations or our lack of understanding that makes it seem like it's contradicting something.
You should have gone a little farther. In Luke in 38, it basically says that with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you, or what you give, you're going to get.
Get right back. Same thing, isn't it? Just, he said it in another way, but it's the same thing. Absolutely right. Okay. Okay. Because, start out verse 8, because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither is your course of life my course of life, says the Lord. So your ways of doing things is not like his ways, is it? Do you think if a person sat down, they could have planned out this world the way it's going? There's no ways they could, no way they could ever do and accomplish what God is accomplishing. You see them trying to do it now, and all they're doing is making a mess out of it. So, and believe me, at the start, they'd have made it worse. I think they did once. It's called the Tower of Babel, didn't they?
It's not about the external.
Yeah, but they don't even know what the internal's about. They can't even fix the external. Okay, because as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my courses of life higher than your course of life. And my thoughts, and the word thoughts here are plans. My plans, and you know, I told you a while back here, this woman wrote an article and submitted it to the web and told the thing, but God had no plans. There's no plan A, no plan B, or nothing like that. But this word right here means plans. You know, just because it wasn't interpreted properly doesn't mean he didn't have a plan. But his plans, my thoughts, my plans are higher than your plans. So he's saying, my spiritual way of doing things exceeds what the natural man can get to. Like Paul wrote in Corinthians, the natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he, because they're spiritually discerned. Right? We're trying to compare apples to oranges. That's why the church world's so messed up. They're not trying to understand apples to apples and oranges to oranges. They're trying to compare mixed fruit there, and it don't work.
They're just selling the apples.
They're selling it. There you go. That's a good one. Verse 10 says, because as the rain descends and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You can read over that thing and miss some things in here. I want to break it down a little slower, break it down a little more short so you can see it. Because as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, they don't go back to the heavens, but waters the earth. What are you? You know, he's talking about the rain and the snow. That's word. Okay? It comes down to this earth, and it makes it bring forth and bud. God's word in you is what brings life to you, isn't it? That it, what? Take out that word may. Cross that word out, because it's not there. It's an added word. That it gives seed to the sower. It should say this. Give seed to sow and bread or food to eat. That King James has all kinds of little stuff right there. It should say, let me do it again. But waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it gives seed to sow and bread to eat. Sure. And the only way you're going to bear fruit is when God brings it from the heavenly realm, the spirit realm, and rains on your earth. Okay? And you got to have those seasons of life and death, the snow in the wintertime and the rain in the summertime, to have that cycle, don't you? Many seeds that hit the ground cannot produce until they go through that freeze in the winter, can they? We've got to go through those cycles of death to reproduce, don't we? It happens. That's just the way it is.
Mr. Dave, on that second word, thought, yep. Course of life, but to the sons, mm-hmm. And the ones that are seeing the kingdom,
same place.
For you to know the mysteries of the kingdom.
Going to be on the same level.
So you'll know his thoughts.
Yeah. He said, I will not share, he said, I will not give my glory to another, mm-hmm. but to the ones the same. There's no issue.
I am a father of one.
There you go. See, so there's no issue about having that. Right. We can receive everything he has because we're not ashamed of him and he's not ashamed of us. So he goes on and tells you just what I told you in verse 10, in verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. He was saying, it was just an analogy of what he was saying now in this verse. It shall not return unto me void or without effect. You can't hear the truth without it affecting you.
Creativity.
There's two ways it can affect you. There's life and death in the word. Isn't there not? The word that brings life to some brings death to others. That's okay. That's part of the process.
Isn't that like what we were just saying a while ago? Free is a verb and creative,
mm-hmm.
is a noun.
Mm-hmm.
Same aspect in that.
Mm-hmm.
The word that goes in, is it a noun or is it a verb?
The word is a noun, but it creates a verb. It creates a verb. It creates action. It will not return to him without having an effect on something. But, and the word but, it should say, but rather, there should be two words there, but rather it shall accomplish that which I please is not the right word. It says what I desire. It will accomplish what I desire. And it shall prosper, okay? Now notice it says, it shall prosper in the thing where it was sent to do. He said, I sent it. It's already been done, hasn't it? Past tense. It's already been done. And it will do what it was sent to do. Is there any way you can change that? Then where does the church think they can scream and yell and cry and flop on the floor and beg God for something and think he's going to do something the way they want it because they're a bunch of spoiled babies? That's all it is. They think they can change God's mind and his plans. There's no way you're changing that. He's got it set, and it's going to go. If he was letting them run the show, this world would be one real mess, wouldn't it? I'd be begging him to take me out of it. Verse 12. Because you shall go out, remember, you shall go out, not with, but in joy. Where are you going out from?
Yourself.
You're getting out of the religious realms of the church. You're going out in joy and be led forth in peace. Okay? You know where we are? Didn't Jesus say, Paul wrote this in Romans 6, when he died, you died in him. And when he was buried, you were buried in him. And when he was resurrected, you were resurrected in him. Right? Okay, so guess what? So why should it be wrong that it should say here that you'll go out in peace? Okay, he didn't have peace, he was peace. We're in him. We have his peace. He said, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. But when I went and looked at these words, something drove me somewhere I'd never been with this before, about the mountains and the hills. What have you heard? Someone tell me something you heard about the mountains and the hills.
Realms?
Huh?
Realms, three realms there?
There's realms. There's two, mountains and hills. There's two. But there is realms. There could be a lot of different levels of mountains. But I've always heard, and most people have taken me to the realm of mountains being the governments, the highest forms of governments, and hills being smaller governments. But I saw something different. For the first time in my life I ever saw this, but I went into the second or third root out of this word hill. And you know what it comes to? It comes to a word that means cupped or a chalice or like a glass to hold something. Okay? From the highest realm, the highest mountains, you know, it says the mountains there, the high part, down to the hills. And what is in between the hills?
Mountains.
Like a cup. So I see something here in this from the highest place to the lowest place. What would be another three-letter word that would fill that from the highest to the lowest? There you go. And he's telling you something here. From the highest to the lowest, they're all going to break forth before you into singing. Before who? Before you. Because he has, up there in verse 5, he said, he has glorified you. He's just telling you another way. From up there all the way to the lowest part that catches everything at the lowest point, they're all going to come forth singing. And all the trees, and what do trees represent?
Humanity.
All of humanity of the field, that's the earth, shall clap their hands. I've never seen a tree yet with a hand, have you? It's speaking of people. And all the people are going to come and sing and worship before you because you're part of that. That don't make you any better than them. It just means God has given you a place of preeminence that only he can give. Remember John's mom said, you know, how about setting my son on this side and the other one on the other hand in the kingdom? He said, that's not for me to give. Only my father can choose that, didn't he? See, where you at in the kingdom is God's choice, not your choice. So all we do is just say amen to whatever he wants and go on with it.
Is that a second word, ye, is that the first fruit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who's this book written to?
First fruit.
I mean, everybody can read it, but I mean, the ones that's going to understand it is the ones he's called to understand it, that he's given the gift of understanding to. And that don't make anybody less of his child. It's just God hasn't called them yet. Okay, that's all. There's people went before us and there'll be people going after us. That's okay. It's God's plan. I'm not arguing with him. I'm just saying I see what I see and he'll fulfill what's his. Here's a good part. This last part's really good. This last verse. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. What does a thorn represent?
Curse.
A curse. You can get that out of Genesis 3, 17 and 18. The ground was cursed because of what Adam did, Adam and Eve, what they did. A fir tree. What does a fir tree represent?
Life.
Eternal life. It's always green, evergreen. Always got life. So it's speaking, instead of being cursed, you're going to have eternal life. Now, doesn't that sound like a message of reconciliation? And instead of the briar, what's that again?
The curse.
The curse, same place. Shall come up the myrtle tree. What is a myrtle tree?
Evergreen.
Huh?
Evergreen.
It's an evergreen tree, it sure is. Has some fruit on it too.
In South Carolina, it's a chicken
tree. Not the same kind, I don't think, but they're always green. They always got the green leaf on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall be to the Lord for a name. Now, the word name here is shame in the Hebrew, and it means honor, authority, character, okay? And it goes on, so it'll be a sign, it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign. The word everlasting is olam, sign, that shall not be cut off. So he's saying these things that he reverses, when he reverses the curse, and the book says he reversed the curse. When he died on the cross, he reversed the curse. So when that curse is reversed, it's not a temporal thing. It's not being saved today and next week have to get saved again. When Jesus died on the cross for the salvation of the world, which took place before the foundation of the world, technically, by the book, the Lamb was slain before the foundation or the conception of the world. When that took place, everybody was taken care of. It's once for all. Is that not correct? So when he says it shall never be cut off, he's telling you, this is it. This is a done deal. I've paid the price, and every curse, every briar, every thorn shall be brought to eternal life. Every person that was walking in a curse or thinking they were in a curse will be walking in eternal life. The only difference is there is going to be rewards. Proverbs 17:2. A wise servant will have rule over the sons that cause shame, and they'll have part of the inheritance among the brethren. It's all it is. John 10, Jesus said that my sheep will hear my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. They will have right for pasture to go in and out, and the others won't. There's going to be some liberties with certain ones that God has given grace and mercy to that are going to be on the inner circle. And that's just the way it is. I didn't make it up. And whether I'm there or not is none of my concern because it's not my choice. When we get there, we'll see about it when we get there. When he passes out the numbers, I guess then you'll figure out what it is. It's not my place. My place is to be obedient now. Isn't that your place? Just to be obedient. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about where I'm going to end up. I know I'll be with God, so who cares? Whatever he gives me, he gives me. End of story. He'll give me more than I deserve. How's that? Can't do any better than that, can we?
I think you deserve it. He'll give you deserve everything.
Well, I don't deserve it by anything I've done, but by what Jesus did on the cross, by the sacrifice he made, we get it all. Everything he owns, he gives to us. And the great and exceeding reward that Abraham got, and we are the seed of Abraham, I am. That's the reward. That's more than all this stuff in the world. That don't mean nothing.